Amen. Let's go. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16. This is out of the Message Bible. It says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. Listen to this part. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. We spent time talking about that. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Now, respecting the government doesn't mean that we act like we're not Christians because the government has a particular bent on something. Respect the government means we do our part as good citizens to promote harmony among the people. It's just that simple. Because the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. So when we're out among the public, we conduct ourselves as Christ would conduct himself because we are his ambassadors. Amen? But as I said earlier, we're going to continue in the series, Who's in Control? This is part four. You can listen, go to our website or on Facebook Live, look at the videos if you want to see the first or hear the first three lessons. So you'll see how we've gotten to this point. But it's important, folks, that we understand who's in control. And when I say who's in control, I'm talking about this planet on which we live. Because too many times or too many things have happened because we think God's in control. And we just step back and wait for God to do all of the work when he's placed us in control. And he's waiting for us to do what he put us here to do. If you look in Genesis 1:26, I'm going to share 26 and 27, and I'm going to share 28 in a different translation. But God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible. So human beings can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and the cattle, and yes, Earth itself. Earth itself. So human beings were supposed to be responsible for the earth and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. That's what God said to man. Take charge. Verse 28, I want to share in the voice translation. It says, then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth. I make you trustees of my estate. So care for my creation. So care for my creation. Well, what was his creation? The earth. And everything that's in the earth. And he gave us explicit instructions to care for his creation. How do I know that's what he was talking about? Well, the next word there says and. And means he's talking about two different things. There's more than one thing he's talking about. Care for his creation, the earth, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams across the earth. So God's intention was always for man and not him to be in control. And he wanted us in control of everything that has to do with this earth. He placed man in control. He said, take charge. You are my trustees. I give you charge. You're to care for my creation. And yeah, man blew it, gave away his authority. God knew that was going to happen. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, just a little bit. But we got everything back in Christ. And if you want to know how I know that, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17, King James Version, says, Jesus came into the country of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his followers, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say you're John the Baptist, And some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the preachers. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, you are happy because you did not learn this from men. My Father in heaven has shown you this. You could say, my Father in heaven has revealed this. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, or on this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. The powers of hell will not be able to have power over my church. We generally stop right there, but there's more, because he said, I will give you the keys of the holy nation of heaven. Whatever you do not allow on earth will not be allowed in heaven. And whatever you allow on in earth will have been allowed in heaven. So the keys to the kingdom restore everything. And who did he give the keys to? His church. We have the keys. And whatever we allow, heaven allows. So God needed a controller. And he made it clear who he wanted to be in control, man. And I was thinking about, well, if God made everything, or since God made everything, because he did, and he saw that it was good, why do you need a controller? If everything is good, why does it have to be controlled? Well, when God put the garden together, he said, let us make human beings in our image, reflecting on nature, so they can be responsible, so they can be in control. He said, of the earth itself. He said he's making us trustees, and we're to care for his creation. That let me know, folks, everything that was in the garden, everything entering into the garden, had to be under control. Everything. Any creation, anything that's created, has to be controlled. Even the devil, because the devil was created. Turn to Ezekiel 28. Because he was created and he was in the garden. He was under the control of man. Human. Ezekiel 28, beginning with verse 12, King James Version. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Thou sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabareth and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the spire. Thou, listen to this, he's talking about the devil. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Anything that was created has to be controlled, folks. And God obviously made everything with a will, because if he could have made everything to just do what it was supposed to do. But everything that he created has a will. So everything that he created has to be under control. Even when we talk about the things that man has created, there has to be controls. And the controls have to be put in so that what was created will only do those things it was created to do, and not more than that. Or if you drive an automobile or any motor vehicle, it has controls. They put governors in buses and some big trucks so they can only go but so fast. Well, they were created. They were made. They have to be under control. There are traffic control devices that were put in place to manage the movement of automobiles. And even those traffic devices have to be controlled. They can't just decide, the lights just can't decide to turn red, yellow, or green whenever they want to. It has to be controlled. And it's controlled by something that's not present. And I'll talk more about that in a few minutes also. So again, the principle is anything created has to be controlled. Anything without that, anything created that's out of control can become dangerous, even if it's beneficial. Medicine was created. It was created to help people. But if it's not managed properly, it'll either not do what it's supposed to do because you didn't get enough, or cause more damage because you got too much or it wasn't used properly. But it was created. It has to be controlled. It has to be controlled. God knew that all of his creation would need to be controlled. And he said that that controller would be mankind. That's why he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them be responsible. Let them be responsible. And I like what it says in verse 28 in the Voice translation. I make you trustees of my estate. So care for my creation. Care for my creation. And his creation is the earth. The King James Version says, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Subdue it means and keep it under control. Period. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He made us trustees. The job of the controller was to rule over the earth and everything on it, everything in it, or anything passing through it. If it had any part of touching the earth, humans, mankind, us, the church, have a say in what that thing can or cannot do, because we've been given the keys. And whatever we unlock is unlocked, and whatever we lock, put on lockdown, stays in lockdown. Now, the job of a controller was to rule over the earth, and as I said, everything in it, on it, passing through. And let me read the definitions here of a controller. One that controls or has power or authority to control. A person who regulates, directs, or restrains is a controller. I like this next one, and this is a principle we need to understand. A remote piece of hardware used to direct or control an electronic device. A remote piece of hardware. That means a controller does not have to be on site to control. Doesn't have to be. Look at Matthew 8. Read verse 5 to 13 in the Passion Translation. A controller does not have to be present to be effective. You need to say that. A controller does not have to be present to be effective. In Matthew 8, in the Passion Translation, beginning with verse 5, when Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who's lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I'll go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority. I understand you are a controller. For I too am a man who walks under authority. I too am a man who controls. And I have authority, or I have control over soldiers who serve under me. I tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they do what I ask. So I know that all you need to do is stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this. And he said to those who were listening to him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Multitudes of non-Jewish people will stream from the east and the west to enter into the banquet feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the heavenly kingdom. But many Israelites born to be heirs of the kingdom will be turned away and banished into darkness, where there'll be bitter weeping and unbearable anguish. Then Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said, go home. All that you have believed for will be done to you. And his son was healed at that very moment. Jesus never left the spot where he was, but he understood the authority he has as a controller. And even though he was in a remote location, all he had to do was speak the words of faith, and what he said had to happen. Had to happen. The Roman officer, some translations say the centurion, he understood that. He understood that Jesus did not have to be present to be effective. All he had to do was believe that the one he was speaking to, Jesus Christ, had the power, the authority, and the will to do what he was put here to do. Control the situation. And it says that the soldier's son was healed at that very moment. Jesus had the power and authority to control. He could regulate, he could direct, he could restrain, and he did not have to be on location. He did it remotely. If it affects God's creation, folks, we have the right and authority to control it wherever we may be. We hear there's a volcano in Thailand. We can speak to it from New York and get results. Why? Because it's something that's affecting the earth. We're the church. We've been given that authority. It's just that simple. Yeah, you really make it sound easy. It really is easy. When we talk about controlling, listen to what controlling means. It means to exercise, restrain, or direct, or influence. It means to regulate. It means to have power over. It means to rule. I like this next one. I so like this next one. It says to reduce the incidence or severity of especially to innocuous levels. Now, I don't know, you may be better than me. I didn't know what innocuous meant. So I looked it up. Listen to what innocuous means. Producing no injury or harmless. Not likely to give offense or to arouse strong feelings or hostility. Inoffensive. See, I believe that's where we live as believers. In other words, this is saying, you may not be able to stop it. You may not be able to prevent it from coming, would be a better way to say it. But you have the ability to stop it from doing what it came to do. You have the ability to render it harmless because you're a controller. And you have authority over this thing, whatever it is. It came. You can stop it. You can keep it from doing what it came to do. Look at Mark 4, Passion Translation. I'm telling you, this is where we live as believers, folks, because things happen and we find ourselves right in the middle of it. And we have to stop running to Dad and say, Daddy, Daddy, please handle this. Daddy's already trained you, already equipped you, and you have to believe in the training that you were given and act on it. In Mark 4, verse 37, in the Passion Translation, suddenly as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. So they shook him awake, saying, Teacher, don't you even care that we're all about to die? Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, Hush, calm down. All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. All Jesus said was, Hush, calm down. Why? He didn't stop it from coming because he was asleep when it happened. But when he saw it, he said, This is causing the earth to be out of control. I'm the trustee here. Hush, calm down. And the sea had to listen. The winds had to listen. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? See, even though the storm came up, Jesus made it innocuous. He took away its ability to harm. But here's the thing, folks. Anyone of the people in that boat could have done the same thing if they had believed. And we need to understand, when something comes up, we need to stop looking for someone who's recognized as super saint and understand that we have the same power, we have the same authority. All we have to do is believe the same way. Believe that everything that we've learned about Christ is absolutely true, and then you act like you believe it. How do you do that? You do something about it. Yes, it came. It's acting a fool. You can make it innocuous. You can make it harmless. You can take the teeth out of it. But you have to believe. You have to believe. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. This is in the Amplified Classic. 2 Corinthians 12. This is what's known as Paul's thorn. Paul said he was given a thorn in the flesh. The Bible calls it, refers to it as a messenger of Satan to buffet him, to annoy him, to aggravate him, to discourage him. And this is what Paul was doing about it, starting in verse 8. He said, three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. This is Paul. Something is coming up. He has the authority. He's a controller. But he's so busy feeling what's happening to him, he forgets who he is and what he has. So what does he do? He runs to Daddy and says, Daddy, do something about this. And he said, he begged three times. He went to God, take this away from me. I can't take this anymore. God, you better do something. I've said that before. God, you better do something about this. You better do something. And God finally answered. He said unto him, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Sufficient against any danger. That's what we tell him. My grace is sufficient for any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. Manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. That's what God said. Paul says, therefore, I will more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased, and take pleasure in infirmities. Listen, this is what he was going through. Infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Now remember what I said earlier about a controller. It's one who controls or has power or authority to control. It's a person who regulates, directs, or restrains. And it can do it from a remote place. He can direct and control from a remote place. In this case, Paul wasn't realizing that he had the authority to take the power away from all that was bugging him. He could just take the power right away from it. But he was so focused on what he was going through, he forgot who he was and what he could do about it. He forgot. We live there, folks. I live there. If you don't live there, I do. I live there. Some things will bother me and I will forget who I am. And I'll turn to God. God, you better do something. I can't take any more of this. And God is saying, you can't? Then do something about it. You've been trained. You know, athletes go through intense training. I mean, a world-class athlete or top professional athlete, the training they go through is more intense than the competition. Trust me, I was a basketball player. Our practices were more intense, more physical, more painful than any game I ever played. say, my goodness, why'd you do that? So what happened during the game wouldn't affect us. Wouldn't affect us. So, yes, if you're going to the baskets for a layup, somebody pushed you into the wall. Why? Because in the game, you go to the basket for a layup and somebody fouls you, you still make the basket. But if you don't practice that, then when game time comes, you won't be able to do it. But see, God is saying to us, church, it's game time and you've been trained. It's game time. And it doesn't matter what the game is called. Yeah, I played basketball. Coronavirus. Okay, it's game time. We've been trained. And we have to understand that we've been trained. Instead of looking to God, God, you better do something about this. We have never faced anything like this before. Would you have felt better if you did? You're still going to have to do the same thing. No matter what it's called, no matter how it comes, we have the responsibility and we've been given the authority to be a controller. God, all God did was remind Paul. He said, Paul, my grace, my favor, my loving kindness, my mercy, it's enough. It's enough. And Paul got the revelation. Now listen to this, folks. In the midst of everything Paul was going through, a revelation still got through to him. Why? Because God, Jesus gave us power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. So even in the midst of being tormented, he can't stop us from remembering who we are if we choose to do so. If we choose to do so. In the midst of all that, Paul got the revelation and said, I will more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities. He says, for the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in insults. I take pleasure in hardships. I take pleasure in persecutions and distresses. Because when I'm weak in human strength, I'm fully abled and strong in divine strength. Paul learned that as a controller, he had authority and he could even control how he feels in any given circumstance. Folks, we have to understand that. It doesn't matter what happens with us, what we're going through, because we've been given the right, the job, the responsibility as trustees over God's creation, over this whole world, that includes the way we feel because we're in this world also. We don't have to be mired down in bad feelings if we don't want to. We can control our thoughts. The scriptures tell us, capture that thought, make it obey Christ. Want to know more about that? Go to the website and get the message, get the series, The Very Thoughts of You. And you'll hear more about that. So because Paul was a controller, he did what he was created to do. God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let's make man reflect our nature so they can be responsible. God wants man to be responsible. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, we're the ones who are responsible. And it's time that we acted like we're responsible because we've been given authority over this earth. We've been given authority over anything that has to do with this earth. We're the gatekeepers, folks. We're the ones that say, yes, this can come in. No, this has to stay out. Why do I say that? Because I've been given the keys. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom. Not just to get in the front door, but to unlock every door. Regardless of what comes, we have a key that'll either restrain it or allow it. And we need to know that we've been authorized by God to do it from the very beginning. And remember, it has nothing to do with what the devil does. Because the devil is a created being just like we are. Only he wasn't given control by God. Yeah, he kind of absconded some from Adam. But Jesus said to us, You have authority and power over anything the devil's got. So yes, we can even control what he does once we get the full revelation of who we are as the church. When we get the full revelation that the very gates of Satan's domain, the very gates of it, cannot, will not, will never prevail against the church. And in addition to all of that, he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He gave us the keys. And whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we loose is loosed. So we need to pay more attention to what we're binding and loosing than to what we're going through. Yeah, we're going to go through stuff. But listen, all those folks that were in that boat, Jesus was asleep on a pillow in a storm so rough that it almost sank the boat. And he wasn't moved by any of it. He was sound asleep. The disciples woke him up. Why could he do that? Because Jesus said to them, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's see if we can go over to the other side. He said, let's go over to the other side. And as everything was nice and calm, they were having a nice time, probably looking at the horizon, and nice ride. Because the scripture says, suddenly a storm came. And one moment, everything's nice and peaceful. The next moment, it looks like everybody's going to die. And they panicked. And they forgot that they were controllers, that all they had to do was speak to the storm in faith, and it had to listen. Jesus didn't get up there and start shaking around and praying and doing. He just said, hush, calm down. Calm down. See, we try and treat things the way we do kids. We think, go have a timeout. They're not going to listen to timeouts. It's a hush. Sit down. Enough of this. And you say it with the authority that you have, and the storm has to calm down. The storm has to hush. Because the controller said so. I don't care how you have all these video games, me. I can't get, I want to get into these new video games, but it seems like I don't have the fingers and thumbs for it. I grew up with Mattel and television. Okay. And tennis was now it's called Pong, was a little dot where you just went over one, over to the other. I know some of you are shaking your head, saying, wow, he must have been in the Stone Age. But we were first generation video games, but even then there was a controller. Didn't matter how sophisticated the game was or wasn't, in order for it to be of any benefit, there had to be a controller. And if the controller wasn't properly charged, you know, if its batteries were weak, then it couldn't do what it was supposed to do. And that answers the question, for me anyway, as to why some things are so out of control. The controllers need to be charged. It needs to be charged. That's why the Bible tells us in Old Testament, meditate on the word day and night, observing to do all that's written therein, because then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Why? You'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Pastor Ed and I were talking about that earlier this afternoon. The people that you get revelation of the word, but we're not getting revelation. We're not growing in revelation in terms of our faith because we're not spending the right amount of time in the word. We're not observing to do. It's great to be on a reading program, but as Pastor Clinton told me, if you're just reading the Bible, just, you know, for the sake of staying up to date on a daily reading guide, and all you're doing is a mental exercise. He said the purpose is to read it with the intent to do what it says, because that's what's going to give you a revelation of faith. By reading it, doing what it says, and finding out, hey, this works. Then you move on to the next one. But we have been given charge God blessed us. He gave us his blessing. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and control it. Don't let the enemy run rampant over it. Keep out anything that's not from me. That's our job as controllers. As believers, whenever we hear about the earth being out of control, we have to remember that we have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we allow will be allowed. Whatever we allow. And whatever we lock down will stay locked down. It's really that simple. We are the ones that have the power and the authority to control. We're the person who regulates, directs, and restrains, and it doesn't matter if we're on-site or off-site. It doesn't matter. If it's out of control and we know about it, we can do something about it because we're a controller. So let's stop waiting. Let's stop waiting for God to step in, because you'll be waiting for a long time. Not because he doesn't care, but because he already stepped in. And he's given us his son. And all we have to do is receive his son, and then we have access to all the power that comes along with it. It's that simple, folks. You're a controller. You're a trustee of God's estate. We were given the responsibility to care for his creation, the earth. I think it's about time we did that. How about you? In order to do that, one would have had to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Would have had to. Because Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father unless they come through him. Nobody. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much money you give. If you haven't gone through Christ, you're not getting to God. We say, well, I want to get to God. Well, how do you do that? Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That doesn't sound hard. No, it's not. It's simple. So right now, wherever you are, just say this with me. Father God, I believe that you are God. And I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe that he died on the cross for the sins of mankind. I believe he went to hell, and after 3 days in hell, you raised him, God, from the dead. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, folks, according to the Bible, if you prayed that prayer, and you meant it, you're saved. You're born again. Jesus has come to live in your heart. And we want to get information to you about now that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, just to get you off on a good starting point. So in a few seconds, some information will appear on the screen. I think it's up there now. And just contact us and let us know. You just accepted Christ. Please send me the information packet. We'll be more than happy to send it to us. Or if you have a question about anything that I said this evening, contact us. Contact us, and we'll get back to you just as soon as we can, because we want to know. Feel free. We're here, and the only reason we're here is because you're there. As long as you're there, we're going to be here, because we're here for you. So just let us know. Maybe you just want to say, hi, I enjoyed the message. That's great. Just contact us. Phone, mail, email. Just if you're watching on Facebook Live, you can send comments. So we just try and make it easy.